Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan in for Bill today on the Infinity Sports Network, rolling on until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific. Here is what's coming up over the next 2 hours. I've got 8 quarterbacks in make or break seasons. I'll tell you what the verdict is going to be on all of them. The war that's coming to Major League Baseball's next CBA negotiation. One NFL franchise may have to make a decision they don't yet see coming. Booger McFarland joins the show. He's my former co-host in Tampa Bay. And do you choose your team, or does your team choose you? I was listening to Writer Than You yesterday, and my main man, Nicholas Skarlatos. How did I do there, Nicholas?
Is that perfect?
Good? Oh, there, listen to this. My man is doing, either I've done my homework or I'm cheating off the paper, one of the two. There was a little excerpt there, a little back and forth between Bill and Nicholas yesterday that has me pondering a little something something. Along the way, you guys can get in touch with us. We like to say we're one of the most interactive shows out there. You can give us a call at 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. On X or Twitter, we're at INF Sportsnet. Invite you to follow me at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. Facebook.com/INF Sportsnet. And listen live on InfinitySportsNet.com. My friends, 6 NFL coaches are fired every season. 6 out of 32. That is a 19% turnover rate. NFL coaches are rejected more at their jobs than you are at the bar trying to pick up Scarlett Johansson. This happens every single year. If this was your business, if this was your industry, you'd be looking for a new job. Except their job comes with the bonus of, hey, you know what, man? Being fired is actually a good thing. I get all this money not to work. On my local show at our Odyssey station, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, like I did the whole who's going to be fired first thing, and we took down names, and we took down predictions, and mine is Mike McDaniel. In order to be weird and eccentric, you got to win. Otherwise, it just becomes annoying. And I don't get the sense that Mike McDaniel really has the ear of his team anymore. I think they've continued to be. Miami has the kind of the face of mediocrity. And I believe when it comes to them, it's like he has furthered all of the stereotypes about the Miami Dolphins. Sponsored by Charmin for softness. Dolphins can't swim in the cold. All of that stuff is just, all that's gotten worse with him there. So what was interesting to me is on this show, and admittedly this is in Detroit, and Detroit and Chicago kind of have the same vibe that when I was living there, Houston and Dallas do. And to explain this to you guys, it's like Detroiters feel like Chicagoans thumb their nose at us in Detroit. Like, we're better than you. We're their white collar. We're blue collar. And they let you know that they're white collar. They let you know that you are the forgotten land and they are the chosen land. And it's just, it's the same vibe. It's the exact same thing. Chicago, Detroit, Dallas, and Houston, it's the same thing. Well, somebody in Detroit told me that Ben Johnson would be the first coach fired this year. And I said, what? Huh? Come again? Really? Ben Johnson is going to be the first first coach fired? What have you been drinking if you think that? You know what, my friends? I do not think this caller has a point, but it got me thinking, you know, about how this is going to unfold in the Windy City. I was listening to our Odyssey station 670 The Score last week, and one of the shows was asking a question, are you more confident now in Caleb Williams than when he was drafted? And I was thinking to myself, I have no idea how anyone could be more confident in Caleb Williams after he was drafted than kind of watching the mess that it's been since he's been there. Now, admittedly, there are some halfway decent signs. An average QBR is 50. He was 46.7. 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's not turning the ball over through the air, which is a good thing. But my gosh, folks, there are a ton of concerns with Caleb. He tries to play hero ball. His deep ball is inaccurate as can be. He leaves the pocket too early, which is the same thing my wallet does. He has an oddball personality. He's got slow processing speed. So does my computer, but we shouldn't just focus on the good things. I'm here to ask you guys, is this going to work? The Caleb Williams-Ben Johnson marriage? Booger McFarland joins us at 11 a.m. Eastern time, and I'm going to ask him just his gut as to that question, because make no mistake, the coach-QB combination is why Liam Cohen was hired in Jacksonville. The coach-QB combination is why Ben Johnson was hired in Chicago. He's hired to make this work. And it is interesting. It is noteworthy. Mike Sando's quarterback tiers just came out for The Athletic. And, you know, he interviews 6 GMs, 6 ex-GMs, scouts, current coaches, etc. And on this list, Caleb Williams is the 23rd ranked quarterback out of 34. He is in tier 3 out of 5. Tier 3 out of 5 is like the yellow light. You have the elite, you have the very good, and then the yellow light is kind of like the what do you make of this? How do I make of this? And 23rd for a second year quarterback wouldn't be an issue, except for the fact that Jaden Daniels is number 6. And in my opinion, he should be number 5. They've got Matt Stafford in the elite tier. I would take Matt Stafford, bump him down to Jaden Daniels tier, and I would put Jaden Daniels into that elite tier. And I'm going to tell you something that you're going to tell me is a hot take, and I'm going to tell you that hot takes are only things that are contrived by a host to get a reaction. If I believe it, it can't be a hot take. Jaden Daniels is about to become a rich man's Lamar Jackson. He is. And Lamar Jackson has a whole lot of money. But what Jaden Daniels has that Lamar Jackson doesn't, better passing fundamentals, better passing accuracy, and gasp, the clutch gene. Yeah, he actually has it. I saw it. And I'm here to tell you, I was screaming from the top of a mountain. I want to let you know I'm not always right, okay? But I was saying a year ago that Jaden Daniels would be the guy that I would take number 1 overall. He put my beloved Florida Gators in an SEC football game in a body bag to the tune of 700 yards of offense. Florida never allowed that many in a single game. 600 yards of offense for one player. Florida never allowed that in a single game before. And 11 yards per play. When you make men look like boys in the SEC, you've got a future for you. And I was like, I don't know how you can watch that tape and not take Jaden Daniels number 1. He's going to be a transcendent player. And Washington got a transcendent quarterback. But my question is, is this going to work between the two of them? And more importantly, who are the Bears more married to between the two of them? If they were to cut one, if this was not to work out, and there are early signs perhaps of some tension. Caleb Williams didn't play in the last game, which was a little bit weird. Didn't play in the first preseason game of the year. It's just kind of like, well, what are they hiding him from? What are they trying to protect him from by not playing him? He would seem like the guy that would be obviously playing. If Joe Burrow is playing in preseason games, Caleb Williams does. Oh, he's so good, we can't risk injury. You know that's not the reason for why he's not playing. It doesn't make any sense. Ben Johnson here. Try to read through the lines here how they're trying to get the offense comfortable with his system.
We ended up probably getting 70 plus, call it, plays on air there. And it was, we tried to make it as similar to what we would do in practice as possible. We're calling a play, or I'm giving him the play. He's calling in the huddle. We're coming up. We got motions. We got it's first down, second down, third down. We're changing everything up. And so you talk about timing and rhythm, anticipation, being on the same page in the passing game. That's where there is no substitute for real live bullets. I get that. But at the same time, when you can accumulate 70 plus reps in a day, that's pretty good. That goes a long way in terms of where you want to go with the connection with the quarterback and his pass catchers.
The words of one Ben Johnson. Might there be a lack of coordination with pass catchers there? Caleb Williams here on trying to learn through Ben Johnson's vision.
It's been fun. It's challenging to be able to see in somebody else's lens at all times. And obviously you're not always going to be on point, not always going to be where exactly, he may want you when he calls that, but that's what we're working towards. We're working towards, when he calls his play, it's, this play is for this, and this is, this is the situation, and it may change depending on the situation.
You know, it's interesting. Caleb Williams is tied to the Bears for 4 years and $39 million. That's less than $10 million a year. Ben Johnson, 5 years, $65 million. That's $13 million a year. Who would you say the Bears are more married to between those two of them? Like, if it's not working out, if we are in, if they don't make the playoffs this year, and then next year comes along and they're sitting there at like 4-6, and you're starting to have the sense that, man, I don't know. Ben Johnson, there's no guarantee he's going to work. He's a really smart guy. I had a chance to get to know him a little bit last year here in Detroit. There's no guarantee. So you can't predict whether the Robin can become the Batman. And the NFL history is littered with guys, Norv Turner, Wade Phillips, guys that were better served to be the Robin than the Batman. You don't know. I think he shows some good signs. I wonder if he has the patience to put up with a Caleb Williams. And then Caleb Williams was the guy. I mean, they had the number one pick, and I think they got it wrong. And if I'm honest with you, I think if the Chicago Bears could do that over again, they'd pick a different guy. I mean, they'll never tell you that. But if the NFL draft of 2024 was tomorrow, don't you think they'd take Jaden Daniels if they knew then what they know now? They could have just listened to Mark Ryan filling in for Bill Ryder on Ryder Than You today. I would have told him. But my hunch is that they would do it over again if they could. 888-710-4ISN. That number again is 888-710-4476 is where you guys can get to us on the show. We will take your calls on this. Welcome you on the show. Nico, what do you make on this? I think the Bears are more married to Ben Johnson than they are Caleb Williams. I worry about whether this marriage is going to work or not. And I guarantee you that if they could do that over again, they would take Jaden Daniels instead of Caleb Williams. And I wish they had listened to one humble Infinity Sports Network host who had shared this with him a year ago.
I'm definitely with you that they should have taken Jaden Daniels. I don't know if they necessarily should be married to Ben Johnson more than they are Caleb Williams. I mean, this is the guy that they took with the number one overall pick, and I know that coaching is so important, especially in the National Football League, but Caleb Williams is supposed to be the one that calls the shots. I mean, obviously not literally, the general manager and the coach have a lot to say, but this is who they are building their franchise around, not the head coach. So if I was in charge of the Chicago Bears, I'd be saying whatever Caleb Williams wants, not whatever Ben Johnson wants.
See, that's I don't know if Caleb Williams has the maturity to deal with that. Chicago really needs a culture change and a regime change, and a head coach is the only one to do that. Now, I know, you said Caleb Johnson, but really, Nico, that's what they need it to be. They need it to be such a marriage that those two guys are like the literal love bugs attached at the hip, where it is Caleb Johnson or Ben Williams, and one is an extension of the other. They absolutely need that. They must have that.
You're absolutely right. But the thing, when I think of Ben Johnson, is we're not talking about Bill Belichick here, right? Like, this is a first-time head coach. So I think it's hard to, and I know Caleb Williams obviously doesn't have much experience at the NFL level either, but that's the risk you take when you draft a quarterback with the number one overall pick. Putting all of that onto a first-time head coach is where I get a little weary, so that's why I would say I would lean more towards Caleb Williams.
Just 34% of first-round NFL quarterbacks hit. Think about that. I mean, isn't the earlier return on Caleb kind of more negative than positive? And in today's day and age, it used to be Mike Holmgren said back in the day on Matt Hasselbeck, you can't judge a QB in the West Coast system for 5 years. Hey, Mike, good luck with that, buddy. This is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately society. Today, Junior, what are you going to give me? In today's day and age, you know second half of the second season, whether you have the guy or not. You could say we're going to get an answer on Caleb Williams this year. Speaking of answers, when it comes to one Shedeur Sanders, is the juice worth the squeeze? I've got a take on that to share with you next. My name's Mark Ryan, in for Bill Ryder, Ryder than you, here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast. Welcome back to Ryder Than You.
I'm going to give you a statement. You tell me if you think it's true. I don't have many skills. That's not the statement I'm looking for. You can buy that if you want.
Bye. On the Infinity Sports Network.
Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan in for Bill Ryder today. On Ryder Than You here on the Infinity Sports Network, rolling on until noon Eastern time today. Was listening to a little bit of Ryder Than You yesterday, and I know the guys are going to say I was cheating. Incidentally, my cousin went to Harvard and swears that Natalie Portman one time was cheating off of her paper. Natalie Portman was at Harvard at the same time as my cousin. Can you believe that? So, listen, if Natalie Portman can get away with it, hopefully so can I. And I heard Nicholas Skarlatos, my esteemed producer today, say that he decided to be a Michigan fan when he was about 12, I want to say, from yesterday. And, number one, that warms the cockles of local Michigan fans' hearts here in Detroit. They love to hear that. The bandwagon could certainly use yet another member, but Nico, it just got me thinking, man. Like I don't know. I always felt like, in the whole, do you choose your team or does your team choose you? I always felt like that's not a choice you consciously make, for the same reason, like you don't choose who you love. Love happens. It envelops you. It's not a conscious decision. Oh, I'm going to like that girl. It's there are things involved in the attraction love process that you don't even realize that you have zero control over whatsoever. Like my wife, my first date with my wife, completely powerless over her spell. Completely powerless. She's sitting there right in front of me. What? I couldn't do anything. There was no choice in the matter. I can't decide. Your relationship with your team is the same thing. It's the exact same thing, man. So it's like, I was listening to you yesterday, Nick, and I was like, I don't know that I can accept that you just decided to like Michigan, and therefore you've loved them ever since. How does that work for you? Can you bring me into that?
Yeah, so the way that I look at it, and maybe I'm just telling myself this so that I feel better about it, is... When you're at a young age and you're 12 years old, I feel like you're still young enough where you are able to grow and become a diehard fan. Whereas, like, if I was to pick a team now, it feels like I've been already watching the sport for so long that it would be, like, almost stupid. And it's also just the idea that there aren't any good college football programs in the New York tri-state area. So it was almost like I was either I didn't get to be a fan of a team or I choose my own. The closest competitive school would have been Penn State, but I don't know. I didn't find the connection there.
Wait a minute. So this is deeply offensive to me, Nico, because first of all, I was born in Syracuse. So for you to say that the Orange were not deserving of you is deep. I sure hope I am deserving of you today. I'm doing my A-level best to be. But don't you need, you can go to the games, and being at the game is when it kind of takes over your soul. And You know, like I didn't know if I was going to be a fan of the teams in Detroit when I came here. But the excitement in being a part of this community, brother, you have no choice in the matter. It just it takes you over and you start to become obsessed with the teams like they are. I want to ask you guys that question. Do you choose your team or does your team choose you? Because I still, like, Nico Skarlatos has completed Mission Impossible to say that he chose Michigan and therefore he has loved them ever since. If you told me I was choosing my team, it would feel like a forced marriage. What is the success rate of forced marriages? Even lower than actual marriages, you know? And that's pretty low. And I would be like, hey, you're not going to tell me who to like. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, now that I'm a grown man, I have what I want for dinner. I don't have to eat the zucchini that you're putting in front of me. I make what I want for myself. So, you know, it's interesting. And I'm curious how you guys would tackle that question. I've always maintained that your team chooses you, not the other way around. And Nico, I'm warning you, Nico, I think America is with me on this one. I do.
I think that, like I said, when you live in a city that has those teams, then that I'm definitely with you on. Like, I'm an Islanders, Mets, Giants, and Knicks fan. Like, my brother, for example, me and my dad are both Mets fans. He, in middle school, decided to switch teams and become a Cleveland, at the time, Indians fan. Very much against that because you're right here in New York where, especially in your own household, you live with Mets fans. Why would you not continue that along? But, like, as far as college football, like I was saying, I don't see how, if there's no, and I understand what you're saying with Syracuse, but Syracuse is still a good 4 or 5 hours away from Long
Island,
which is where I am. So I don't know. I didn't get that connection as a little kid the same way I did with those other professional sports teams.
Yeah, because you cherry picked. You went for the rich girl. You went for Michigan. You know, you had Syracuse, who's had top 10 seasons. Rutgers with Greg Schiano. As an NFL coach, he was Greg Schiano, but he was Greg Schiano. Like, as he, you know, he's doing good things there again. And the reality is, you know, like this. You should have picked one of those two teams, one of your local New York teams, man. That should have been your case. But, hey, congratulations to you. You successfully did something that I couldn't do, which is choose your team. I that is never a conscious choice that I made. I'll tell you this, Nico, last thing on this. I was a Florida State fan. This is I shouldn't be admitting this on national radio and on Sirius XM, but I was a Florida State fan. And I was touring colleges. I ended up going to the University of Florida. Florida State fan told me their communications program to do this was in transition. Florida, I knew, had a top four program in the country. So I knew that. And so I made a business decision to go to the University of Florida because they were better at this, much better at this. Well, like the first couple months in my dorm room at Florida, I had Florida State posters on the wall. And then it just, like, you start to become a student and you start to the proverbial bleed orange and blue. And then there's no choice but to hate the other one. It's just, it's something that overtakes you that you had no conscious decision-making power over. And by the end of my freshman year, I was full-fledged orange and blue. There was never a point where it's like, okay, I have to become a Gator now. I am deciding to become a Gator. It just happens. What do you guys think about this? 888-710-4ISN. That number again is 888-710-4476 is where you guys can get to us on the show. Do you choose your team or does your team choose you? The other thing I want to get to, Shedeur Sanders, man. I don't get this at all. I don't get the Shedeur Sanders hate at all. Here's what happened with Shedeur Sanders. I call it the Tim Tebow principle. And that is that when you have a backup quarterback that gets more attention than the starter, if the NFL teams do not want you to be the starter, they also don't want you as the backup. That is the scoop. That's what happens. If you are a backup quarterback, you are supposed to be silent, receive no attention, not be popular, not have fans clamoring for you. You are supposed to blend in with the plants inside the building. And the reality is that's not Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is flash and bling and his dad. And yeah, it's a little bit of entitled behavior. You know, two speeding tickets already in training camp. That certainly is part of it. But the NFL, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong on this. The NFL on Shedeur Sanders has decided that the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. And I find that, frankly, to be kind of deeply offensive, given what he did. You know, went to a college that had won one game and two games respectively before he got there, doubles that to four his first year, wins nine games the second year. How about his quarterback stats? How about a rating of 160.4? How about a completion percentage of 72%? How about a 5-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio? All behind an offensive line that was sponsored by Denny's. You know, always open. How could this guy possibly slide the way, oh, it's because he's small. No, bro, he's 6'2", 215. Drew Brees had a pretty good career. He was 6 foot flat. So he's not overly athletic. Again, Drew Brees, how did that work out for him? Give me a break. Everything with Shedeur Sanders is enough. His performance in college was enough. His mobility is enough. His arm strength is enough. He has everything you need to be successful. So where I have a problem with guys like Shedeur, I'll use the Mike McDaniel comparison. When the guy doesn't produce, you can't hit me with the bling and the cars and the cockiness and the elitist attitude if you're not producing. But Shedeur Sanders did produce. And guess what he did when he got a chance, even though his own coach didn't want to draft him? Guess what he did? Goes out there 14 for 23, 138, two touchdowns, no picks. And Kevin Stefanski is noncommittal yet again. They didn't want to play him last week, but they didn't want to play their starter, Joe Flacco. They obviously don't have Deshaun Watson this year. Kenny Pickett has an injury. Dylan Gabriel had an injury. They had no choice. This is their worst nightmare. And now in Cleveland, one of our great Odyssey markets, you've got people flooding the phone lines saying, why the hell aren't we getting any more Shedeur? It just doesn't make any sense. And yeah, he has confrontations with people. Confronted a local radio host this week about negative commentary about him. Here is Shedeur Sanders on his conversation in the tunnel after the game with a reporter.
I've been hoping you got something positive to say about me. You only say negative stuff about me. And I'm like, I ain't do nothing to you.
No.
I ain't seen nothing positive that you ever said.
Listen, I know some have a problem that he confronted the radio host like that. That was so good intentioned. I mean, the intentions there were so positive. He handled that exactly the right way. Just, hey, man, how about mixing a little positive every once in a while? You know, I will tell you this, guys. Shedeur Sanders, for me, is kind of like a couple dating philosophies I have. You know, when you go on a first date with somebody, it's either hell yes or hell no. If you can't say hell yes, do you want to go out with her again? Maybe. No, that's a hell no. You deserve a hell yes. She deserves a hell yes. You know, and it's the same with quarterbacks. What you see, is it a hell yes or a hell no? Also in relationships, every relationship comes with a hell. I don't care how good your relationship is. People leave relationships when the hell exceeds the heaven. So when you watch Shedeur Sanders play, is it a hell yes or a hell no? It's a hell yes. When you watch him play and the results that you get with him playing at any level, at Jackson State, at Colorado, at Cleveland, with his play, do you get more heaven than hell? Yes, you do. You get more heaven than hell. So stop worrying about the attention. Stop being so old school that you can't handle a little popularity, a little Instagram fame. Stop doing that, Cleveland. God forbid you have some active excitement around your team for the first time in half a century. Give Shedeur the ball. Get out of the way. If I'm Kevin Stefanski, Shedeur Sanders is my starting quarterback, perhaps a month into season number one. I got to see what this guy has. I got to see if he can cut the mustard. I like what I see with Shedeur Sanders. What say you? 888-710-4ISN. That number again is 888-710-4476. Coming up next, I reject the very principle here of one of Nico's questions. Nico, put up your dukes. Put up your dukes. I'm coming for you next in start, bench, or sit. Mark Ryan in for Bill Ryder on Ryder Than You.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast. Welcome back to Ryder Than You.
If he hires someone to be a movie reviewer, maybe he could hire you if he branches out to pop culture, Ryan. You're like, Jaws, that movie is dumb. There's a shark. Why is a shark in the water? You don't even know what it's, you know? Like, oh, that's iconic. You didn't even know. Who proved this? Who's Steven Spielberg? Steven Spiel stupid, huh?
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan here, in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You. As we roll on until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific, having some fun. Booger McFarland is going to be coming your way next. My former co-host in Tampa Bay, are the Bengals setting Joe Burrow up to succeed? That's going to challenge Boog a little bit because he's an LSU guy. Burrow's an LSU guy. Which direction does he go? That's coming your way in the very, very next segment of the show. But for right now, it's time for a Ryder Than You staple. It is Start, Bench, Cut.
It's Start, Bench, Cut on Ryder Than You.
All right, Mark, why don't we start by talking about some rookie quarterbacks entering their first year in the National Football League. Now, we don't know if any of them are going to play right away. I think one of them will, but Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, and Shedeur Sanders have both been playing a lot in the preseason, at least for now. Which of the three quarterbacks do you think will have the best career when it's all said and done? Start, bench, cut those three guys.
Oh, boy, this is brutal, brutal to me. You know, I was going back and forth on this when you sent this over. I think Cam Ward is going to be a good, solid pro, kind of a steady Eddie. You know what you're getting. It's incredible how little buzz there is around him, isn't it? I'm going to go with start Shedeur Sanders for the reasons I gave you in the last segment. And that's going to be one of the telltale stories where the NFL learned a lesson. Not to be worried so much about entourage and cockiness and more worried about level of play. So I'm going to go Shedeur Sanders start. Cam Ward bench. Jackson Dart cut. Jackson Dart looked good enough. He has the tangibles that you need to be a successful NFL quarterback. He's got the size, the strength, etc. But I got to tell you, like, I think Cam Ward is going to be a really polished pro. I think Shedeur Sanders has a special quality. It's not that I'm so down on Jackson Dart. It's that, really, I think this quarterback class is and was better than people are giving it credit for.
Why don't we talk about some teams that have been picking in the top 10 in the draft quite too often in the last couple of years. We've got the New England Patriots, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Chicago Bears. Now, three teams with young quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, has been in the league for 4 or 5 years now, but I would still consider him a pretty young quarterback. So which of these three teams has the most exciting future? Start, bench, cut, Patriots, Jaguars, and Bears.
Well, Nico, you touched on it, man. Do you realize, you know, my philosophy is for the draft, randomize the whole thing. Don't give any incentive for losing. And the principal reason why is, you know, all these same teams picking the top 10 every year, you know what it's doing for them? Nothing. They're still picking in the top 10 every single year. I've looked at this. You know, the fact that they're being given handouts is not helping them. One iota, the cream rises to the top. I love the fit of Mike Vrabel in New England. He is absolutely the start here. They are my sleeper playoff team in the AFC this year. Look, let's call a spade a spade. Trevor Lawrence has been disappointing as a pro, to say the least. And, you know, to be honest with you, I covered him at Clemson, was very, very mistake-prone. And it was kind of like, you know, people are talking about him like he's Jesus. You know, he's got the hair, he's got the look, he's the prototype, everything. It's like, makes a lot of mistakes, man. Really. I'm going to go Jaguars as the bench. And I do have hope for Ben Johnson in Chicago. I do have worry about Caleb Williams and whether he can thrive in a structured system. Bears bench, I mean, a Bears cut, Jaguars bench, Patriots start to make the playoffs next season.
We talked about first-year quarterbacks entering the NFL. How about first-year head coaches? Aaron Glenn is now with the New York Jets. Brian Schottenheimer starting his tenure as Cowboys head coach. And Liam Cohn with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which of these first-year head coaches will be the most successful?
It's going to be Liam Cohn. He's going to start for us here. Look at what he did for Baker Mayfield. 4,000-plus yards, resurrected Baker Mayfield from a QB on his last chance to a $100 million quarterback to one now ranked top 10 or 11 in the league. Liam Cohen is the guy. You know, look, I've got Jacksonville making the playoffs this year, too. It might only take 9 wins in that division. Houston got a lot worse on the offensive line. Bench for me is going to be Aaron Glenn. He's got to overcome dysfunction. Remember in the player survey? You know, it's hard to give somebody an F who's making you a millionaire. The Jets gave their ownership, Woody Johnson, an F, and he's paying all of their checks. How is that even possible? He was the only owner to get an F. That's what Aaron Glenn is working up against. And then, look, you know, Jim Carrey is saying about Brian Schottenheimer, so you're telling me there's a chance, and I'm telling you no, there isn't a chance. The only reason Shoddy was hired is because he's the only guy that would put up with Jerry Jones's nonsense. He's the only guy that would put up with Jerry Jones's control. His hire is evidence that the best coaches know that they can't win there. Start, bench, and cut. Liam Cohen, Aaron Glenn, Brian Schottenheimer.
Let's talk some college football. We had the release of the preseason AP poll on Monday, and Texas, Penn State, and Ohio State were the top three teams in that order. Start, bench, cut of the three. Who's got the best chance to win the national championship?
Do you know the national championship game last year? You had Notre Dame and Ohio State. It was the third lowest college football playoff national championship game ranking in the playoff era. Why is that? You had two major brands. You know why? Because they're ruining what used to be my favorite sport. Absolutely, positively ruining it. And if you don't believe me, look at the things that used to be big deals in college football that aren't anymore. There is steady erosion going on right now already at the margins. National Signing Day, now no big deal. Spring games, I don't even know when Florida spring game is anymore. These used to be religions, part of the tradition, part of the pageantry. This now feels like the National Football League, man. No thank you. Best chance to win a national championship, I will go Texas to start. Ohio State to bench. Why for these two teams? Because they have the best rosters money can buy. Congratulations. If this was what you wanted out of college football, you got it, man. As for me, I prefer a college football where you and the football players shared the fact that there wasn't a lot of money in your wallet. It was a shared toughness experience that brought you guys together. And Penn State, look, man, I know to channel the late, great Denny Green, everyone wants to crown him, but, you know, they are, to me, college football's version of Lamar Jackson. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The greatest predictor of future behavior is what? Previous behavior. Until you do it, I'm not picking you. They're always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Last one for you. We'll talk a little baseball here. I think we can all agree that at least right now the Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in baseball, 31 games over 500 on an 11-game winning streak as we speak. So let's see who the second best team in baseball is. We've got the Los Angeles Dodgers, the defending World Series champs, the Philadelphia Phillies, or the Toronto Blue Jays.
This is the one, Nico. This is the one that I reject on principle, my friend. Where are the Detroit Tigers? Do you realize, Nico, that since August 11th of last year, from last year, 365 days, they have the best record in Major League Baseball? Better than any of your super teams here? Any of them? Where are they? The Detroit Tigers, where is the love? I love that you're giving me three choices, none of which are the team I cover. And I got to tell you, man, my brownies are burnt by the fact that these Detroit Tigers never get any national love. Who is the second best team in Major League Baseball right now? It is the Blue Jays. I got to be honest with you. If I had an option, I would say the Mariners, actually. They are 10-1 since the trade deadline. They have the current Bronx Bombers lineup in Major League Baseball, and they've got a starting rotation and bullpen to boot. But on this group, I will go Blue Jays 2 in the postseason, Phillies, and then Dodgers. Would you believe the Dodgers, who we thought might rival the Mariners' old record from the early 2000s on most wins in a season? I thought the Dodgers might rival that record. What is going on with them? Who has taken Mookie Betts and replaced him with Mookie Mess? I can't figure out what is going on with that team right now and why exactly they're not achieving their potential. So Blue Jays start, Phillies bench, Los Angeles Dodgers cut. They're still the betting favorite to win the World Series. What am I doing? Well, what we're doing is we're talking to Booger McFarland next, my former co-host. He is on Monday Night Football's broadcast, ABC's college football telecast. We're going to ask him, are the Bengals setting Joe Burrow up to succeed? Mark Ryan in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You, right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan here, in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You, on the Infinity Sports Network, rolling on until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific. Here is how you can get in touch with the show. You can give us a call at 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. On X or Twitter, you can get to us at INF Sportsnet. You can get to me. Invite you to follow along. I'd love to have you. I'm at Mark Ryan on air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on air on Facebook, X, and Twitter. Facebook.com/INF Sportsnet, and you can listen live on InfinitySportsNet.com. Chasing the interview with Booger McFarland, who should be joining us momentarily. Open today by bringing you into the Caleb Williams fiasco in Chicago. And, you know, like, it's interesting to watch different media personalities kind of dance around the topic that, like, Caleb Williams is weird. And again, weird can be good. You know, when I worked with Booger McFarland in Tampa, this was crazy to me. We had four people on our show, right? We had the producer, we had a sports update person, we had Booger and myself. And we did this little exercise where we had everybody put, put a word for everybody on a piece of paper. Would you believe that Booger, Roller Girl, and Kyle, our producer, my producer, had the same name for me, weird? That, like, that was their word for me. I'm a weird dude, man. You know, weird is okay if you are winning, but weird and eccentricity is not okay if it's not working out. It's just people looking at him like, man, it's just, that guy's, you know, a little off, a little left of center. And I think with Caleb Williams, it's not only the stuff that is a little bit unusual. It's the fact that he's just kind of like a little bit off kilter as a dude, as a person. And he's just kind of a little bit of an enigma, and he's hard to figure out. And you can't figure out if he's just kind of like, is he just kind of somewhere else mentally, or is he just not really focusing on the task at hand? Now, my feeling on Shedeur Sanders is the complete and polar opposite of that. I feel like this is a dude who is misunderstood, who is very popular, and teams hate that because they don't want him to be the starting quarterback. How can you explain with any degree of fairness, how Shedeur Sanders fell to where he did in the NFL draft, round 5, pick 144. Look, I can't go out there and compare him to Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. I can't do that. But I can tell you that Shedeur Sanders has more athletic ability, more pure quarterback traits and skills than Tom Brady had when he entered the NFL. Tom Brady was taken with pick number 199. Shedeur Sanders, pick number 144. So all I'm going to tell you is if it's possible for Tom Brady, it's possible for Shedeur. Now, you got to make sure this guy keeps his whatever semblance of humility he has, because one thing he's not lacking is confidence right now. I just feel like, you know, when we look back at the Shedeur Sanders story, I think we're all going to be saying to ourselves, you know what, man? This is a guy who proved the NFL wrong. The NFL has gotten the last laugh on guys like Jimmy Clausen, but they lost on Aaron Rodgers. They lost completely. Was supposed to go much higher than he did. And I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be an L in the L column for the National Football League. 888-710-4ISN. That number again is 888-710-4476, where you can get to us on the show. So I think as I look forward to this in the NFL season, I think there are 8 quarterbacks who are entering make-or-break seasons in terms of what we think of them, in terms of the public perception. You, of course, have heard the phrase, perception equals reality. Now, Nico, what I'm going to ask you to do here is, by way of ding or buzzer, let the audience know whether or not you agree or disagree with my assertion. What will the ultimate verdict be? At some point, we make a decision on everything in our lives, whether this thing, this person, cuts the mustard or not. And as I look at these guys, I think the court of public opinion is going to be yay or nay on them coming up this season. I really, really do. Number one, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, the verdict is going to be out this year. Isn't it something that we don't yet have a verdict on Kyler, and he's entering year 6? How is that possible? You know, we know everything else by year 2. Kyler Murray, we're still trying to figure him out now. Kyler Murray, would you believe Jonathan Gannon? I am going to say Kyler Murray is a success this year. I think Kyler Murray has success, and I think Kyler Murray takes the next step. And I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, like Arizona's making the playoffs or anything, but I think they're going to have a surprisingly competitive season of about 9 wins, 9-8. They add Josh Sweat on the outside, Dalvin Tomlinson at defensive tackle, Akeem Davis Gaither at inside linebacker. They don't lose a whole hell of a lot. I think Jonathan Gannon, year 2, expect this team to take a step up. What do you say, Nico? Agree or disagree? Kyler Murray. He agrees. Trevor Lawrence, up number 2, make or break season via public perception for Trevor Lawrence. They bring in Liam Cohen. You realize that Trevor Lawrence does have a clutch gene, is part of the second biggest playoff comeback in NFL history, coming back to beat the Los Angeles Chargers the season before last. And you realize that the raw tools that drew Liam Cohen to him are still there. You give him weapons. You give him Travis Hunter, who's going to be all over the field. And then you give him a division that is easily, in my opinion, the worst in football. I mean, Indianapolis and Tennessee are sponsored by Waste Management. And then you consider that Houston is in a period of transition with their offensive line. I have Jacksonville winning this division. Jacksonville can go 9-8. Jacksonville can go 10-7. I think the verdict on Trevor Lawrence is better after this year than it is right now. Yay or nay? Oh, no. What do you think happens to them this year, Liam? Lidico.
I don't know. I'm just not sold on him. And it's not necessarily his fault. I do want to preface by saying that. I just think that he was ruined, whether it was by Urban Meyer early on. You know, Doug Peterson didn't do a great job either. I'm a big believer in once a quarterback is so mentally screwed up that it's there's no going back at that point. So when they're rookies,
so
or
you think
very
he's unsalvageable?
I do.
He's unsalvageable.
I just think,
really?
When you look at his stats, people were comparing his numbers through the first couple of years to Daniel Jones. I mean,
and another Jones,
that's pretty
Mac
bad.
Jones. Mac Jones had better numbers than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
not good. Through the first couple of years. Well, Derek Carr, I think, is the poster child. I'm sorry, David Carr is the poster child for, like, the good quarterback who was ruined by being in a bad system. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Nico, because, like, I've gone and looked at this. Only 20% of first-round quarterbacks find success if they're drafted into bad situations. 53% find success when they're drafted into good situations. That's what makes what Joe Burrow's done so impressive, because he was drafted into a god-awful situation, and he's made it great, which kind of elevates the bar for anyone else. If you are really great at what you do, can't you make those better around you? Justin Fields is up next. This feels like a make-or-break year for one Justin Fields, and I hate to say it, Nico. I don't know what side of the Giants-Jets equation you're on. I think Justin Fields is broken this year. Admittedly, in the Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones draft class, he was the guy that I thought would be the best. Had that season at Ohio State with 40 touchdowns and one interception. But I think the Jets are way too big a mess to be saved by him. I think the Jets were looking at a non-embarrassing Band-Aid to help them survive this season, maybe save some face, maybe build around their young talent before they draft their QB of the future next year. I don't think Justin Fields with the Jets has any lasting legs. You agree with me? Thank you. Thank you for being on the right side, Nico. It's good to have you here, bud. any feelings on Justin?
No, I agree with you 100%. I don't think Justin Fields is a horrible quarterback. It's just the Jets, they're just cursed. That's really all you could say about them. Like, there are things that happen to that franchise that wouldn't happen to anyone else, and I don't think that it's going to get any better. You mentioned it before when we were talking about Aaron Glenn with start bench cut. It's not that Aaron Glenn is a bad coach. We don't know yet, obviously, because this is his first time as a head coach, but Woody Johnson is going to find a way to mess things up.
Yeah, he does. He cannot keep his hands out of the cookie jar. You know, at least with Jerry Jones, you know what you're getting into. Like, if you can accept having someone nitpick every single area of your organization, go sign to be the Cowboys head coach. Brian Schottenheimer, no one else will hire you. Perfect. You're the head coach. But with the Jets, I think sometimes these coaches don't know what they're getting into. And Aaron Glenn, man, got to know him last year in Detroit. Wonderful, wonderful human being. If anyone can make something out of that franchise, he can. Tua Tagovailoa is up next. Oh, boy. Will he sink or swim? Why is it that these guys cannot win a game in under 40 degrees? Why is that the case? You know, I look at an increasingly difficult schedule this year for Tua. I look at some very troubling, inconsistent play, even seen in training camp where he lights the defense on fire and then he throws three picks on their first three drives. We now know and believe that Miami took the wrong quarterback at number five years ago. I think Miami is looking for a new coach and a new quarterback next offseason. I think Tua is out. Tua, the verdict is no good. How could I possibly be wrong on that one? There is no way I'm wrong, Nico. No way whatsoever.
I just think that I understand the injuries are a huge factor. He has to stay healthy. But when he's on the field, the Dolphins' offense has been really, really good. I mean, this was a guy that, when healthy in 2023, was a candidate to win the most valuable player. So I know he hasn't gotten it done in the postseason, but I still trust Tua Tagovailoa, again, if he is able to stay on the field.
Will we show Jordan the love? Make or break season? Now, you might say, well, Mark, with his contract, are they really going to bench him? No, I don't think they're going to bench him, but I do think the court of public opinion is going to be out on Jordan Love this coming season. You know, right now he is slotted on Mike Sando's quarterback tiers. He's number 13. He's on the bottom of the second tier of quarterbacks between Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy. I think that's fair. I mean, I think this quarterback tiers list is pretty doggone accurate, if I may. Jordan Love, I think, will the court of public opinion will give him a pass. When you consider the Lions this year have the most difficult road schedule in the history of the league, the Vikings and the Bears are in transition. Minnesota with a rookie quarterback, Chicago Bears with a new head coach. You know, Green Bay is as good a pick to win the division as a surprise division winner as anybody. I think you can book Green Bay for 10 or 11 wins this year. And as a team with Jordan Love, that at least every year they're going to kind of be in the mix. I think Jordan Love gets the check this year. Yeah, where was that the last time, Nico? Come on. Come on, man. What's going on? Anthony Richardson is up next. Oh, God help us with this guy. Listen, Nico, again, I'm wrong about a lot. I was not wrong about this one. Do you remember 2 years ago in the Combine that we fall in love with a Combine Warrior every single year? This guy was the quarterback of my school, my alma mater. People were saying, what can he do? I had people jumping all over me, Nico. When I said, what can he do? He can't complete 50% of his passes and he can't beat Vanderbilt. That's what he can't do. And we say, look at his size and look at his stature and he's a Greek god and look at the arm. But can he make good decisions with the football? You saw how he was injured, right? We all can acknowledge that injury was his fault. The second drive of the first preseason game, where something you learn the first day of install, he couldn't pick up the blind rusher coming. This is a disaster, and it better not cost Shane Steichen his job. It should cost their GM Ballard his job, not Steichen, because that pick is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. Guess what, Nico? I just received a text. Live radio, folks. This is how I just received a text that there is a green light. So you and I can figure that out with Booger McFarland. I do definitely want to bring him on the show. Very quickly, Bryce Young, I think, gets a check. And Justin Herbert, I think, gets an X. Why? Justin Herbert has no playoff wins in 4 years. Tim Tebow has more playoff wins than Justin Herbert does. And the one thing I think you can't coach is clutch. I don't think there's anything Jim Harbaugh can do to make Justin Herbert clutch. And I think that affects them big time. So I've got Bryce Young continues his ascension under second-year head coach Dave Canales. And I think Justin Herbert makes Jim Harbaugh bang his head against the wall for his inability to perform when it matters. 8 QBs who the verdict will be in on this year. There's our verdict. Okay, now, we've got a couple of options here. The question is, which option is the quarterback of this show, Nicholas Skarlatos, going to choose? Will we have Booger McFarland? Will we have... buy or sell coming your way next. My name is Mark Ryan, in for Bill Ryder, Ryder than you, right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast. Welcome back to Ryder Than You.
I have a theory of human beings that everyone's a total weirdo. And with most people, you can't figure out how. With you, we've gotten there pretty quickly.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network. You heard our takes on the QBs and make or break seasons and how we thought that was going to go. Well, here is another thing that that requires our yay or nay on. It's a little ditty that we call here on Ryder Than You, buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Ryder Than You.
All right, Mark, we got some breaking news this morning as Bills running back James Cook has signed a four-year, $48 million extension with Buffalo. $30 million of the deal is guaranteed. Buy or sell, do you think this is a good deal for the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, they absolutely need it. When they're at their best, they have that running game cooking. See what I did there? And I think he is absolutely the guy to do it. Now, I will tell you, I thought it was a little bit weird what's happened to his brother in the NFL. How suddenly, it just seems like he didn't have any skills anymore. Because he was a phenomenal player in his own right. But there is going to be no heyday for the Buffalo Bills if James Cook isn't heavily involved. And then you do it on this somewhat reasonable deal. I never have a problem with the guaranteed money. What kills you is the average annual value. This is fine. This is reasonable. This is the going rate. Good job, Buffalo. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we saw an article from The Athletic come out this week, and it had their list of tiers rating the quarterbacks in the NFL. Super Bowl-winning quarterback Jalen Hurts was listed in Tier 2. Buy or sell, do you think Hurts is a top-five quarterback in the National Football League?
This is the biggest injustice that I see right now in sports, Nico. And look, this happened in ESPN's list. He was ninth. In this list, he's tied for ninth. Are you kidding me? Like, this shows you that, again, these GMs and coaches and scouts, assistant coaches, they're making the same mistake they did with Anthony Richardson. They're looking at skills over attitude. Well, you know what, man? I used to sell management development training programs. I can tell you that 86% of anybody's success has to do with their attitude. Jalen Hurts, you got the best leader in the National Football League. Where should Jalen Hurts be ranked on this list? Number 7. Okay, behind Stafford and Jaden Daniels and ahead of Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, and CJ Stroud. The ninth, the fact that he is the quarterback just in front of Baker Mayfield. I mean, come on, man. All he's going to do is continue to prove the rest of the league wrong. He is one of the most likable superstars in the National Football League. Love me some Jalen Hurts. I am buying Jalen Hurts as a top five quarterback in the National Football League.
Bye.
All right, we talked about Jordan Love in the last segment. He and the Green Bay Packers coming off an 11-6 season. They did lose in the wild card to Jalen Hurts' Philadelphia Eagles. Love, though, is dealing with an injury, just underwent surgery in the offseason. Buy or sell that the Jordan Love injury has you concerned about how the Packers will do this season?
No, I am selling that. Look,
sell.
He's the torn ligament in his left thumb. It's a thumb, you know. It's not like this isn't like Tommy John surgery for pitchers. He is expected to be ready for week number one. But I will say, you know, like there is some pressure on him and his head coach Matt LaFleur, who while is on everybody's list for being like the best looking head coach. Watch his press conferences, man. He's really prickly for no reason whatsoever. It's just like, what? You know, who peed in your Frosted Flakes, man? And so the question is, can that marriage work? Can they take the next step? Or are they always going to be that second or third tier team? That's not going to fly in Green Bay, a city that is in contention for being the capital city of football in America. But no, I don't think if they do fail this season, it's going to be because Jordan Love isn't ready.
The NFL continues to work on its player safety, and they continue to make those helmets that the players wear have more protection in them. Aaron Rodgers, though, not a fan, says they look like a spaceship when he wears one. So buy or sell that you think that more players should be wearing these new helmets.
Look, man, I am so over Aaron Rodgers and his me first diva attitude, and this is the latest example. You know, what is success for them anyway with the Steelers this year? Define that. And if you define that, can they achieve it? Buzzer, buzzer. No, they can't achieve it. Look, I've had a chance to speak to Garrett Webster, who is the son of late Steelers legend Mike Webster. And Garrett explained this more eloquently than I've ever heard. Why can't you prevent concussions? Your brain You remember those commercials, This Is Your Brain on Drugs? Your brain is the yolk inside of an egg. The egg, the shell, is the helmet and your skull. You can only prevent a concussion if you can prevent the yolk from shaking. How do you do that? You can't. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, kindly shut the hell up and wear the helmets and stop worrying about aesthetics and start worrying about whether you're going to be able to make complete sentences in your 60s. Thanks, Aaron. I'll be
Bye.
Here all week.
All right, let's talk some college football. We did in the start bench cut segment a little Texas, Penn State, Ohio State. Who's the favorite to win the national championship, or who should be at least? Well, the preseason AP poll came out. Texas ranked one, followed by Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. Buy or sell that the preseason AP poll is pretty much useless.
Totally useless, but not only that, I'm buying the fact that it's useless.
Buy!
But I hate the fact that I have to use the word buy to such a sham. Not only is it useless, Nico, it's actually quite harmful. How is it harmful? Well, if you track the history here, all these highly ranked teams in the preseason AP poll, they're going to remain one loss ahead of all the surprising unranked teams for the duration of the entire season. That isn't just unuseful, it's a crime. You shouldn't be grandfathered into anything just because people thought you were good. You know, every year there are two top 10 teams in the preseason poll that end up unranked, and every year there's a team that begins unranked that ends up in the top 10. There should be no college football poll, period, until we know who these teams are in October. Stop worrying about the damn hype machine and start worrying about doing everything the right way.
Let's talk some baseball. The San Diego Padres find themselves tied at the top of the National League West after the Dodgers have now lost three in a row. They are 0-5 against their crosstown rivals, the Los Angeles Angels, this year. So buy or sell that you think the Padres will win the NL West over the Dodgers.
I would love it if they did, man. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Give me the buy. Give me the buy.
Buy.
You know what, man? Look, this is where Scott Harris, the Detroit Tigers president, fell short. He's married, clutched the pearls of his prospects. Didn't go get a Eugenio Suarez. Didn't go get a Joan Duran. Didn't go get the Mason Millers. San Diego is all in. You know what, man? In life, you will never regret taking the swing and missing. You will have deep regret for leaving the bat on your shoulder. I commend San Diego and their ownership and leadership for going for it when they smell blood in the water. That is the Los Angeles Dodgers choking away perhaps the best roster in the history of modern baseball. And I think that attitude, that energy, filters through every layer of the organization. The Dodgers are playing a game of defense, and the Padres are on offense attacking the significant favorite. I think baseball is going to love the story of San Diego perhaps winning their first World Series of all time.
Same question in the American League side. The Seattle Mariners have won 8 consecutive games. They now find themselves tied with the Houston Astros atop the American League West after the Astros have led that division pretty much the entire year. Both teams now 67-53. Buy or sell that Seattle is the team to beat in the AL West?
In the AL West, I'm buying the Seattle Mariners as the team to beat in the American League, period.
Buy.
Period. They're 10-1 since the trade deadline. What are they missing? Cal Raleigh's a top 5 player in baseball, and the casual fan didn't even know who he was before the season began. If I was to rank who I would favor in every matchup, proposed matchup in the American League playoffs today, here's the power ranking I would have. Seattle 1, Houston 2, Blue Jays 3, Tigers 4. Guardians 5, Red Sox 6, Yankees, I wouldn't favor to win a series against any of those teams above them. Now, I realize that my ranking of 4th for the Tigers isn't going to make me any friends here in Detroit, but they've got time to rectify that. Again, though, Seattle was aggressive. Seattle added so much at the deadline without even giving up a top 8 prospect in their organization. Meanwhile, Scott Harris said, you know, again, I'm going to cling to life for all of my prospects, even though my team has a chance to win. And folks here in the D are apoplectic that that was his philosophy, that that was his strategy. There you have it. Buy or sell today. By the way, Nico, agree or disagree? Seattle is the team to beat in the American League.
I'm very high on the Toronto Blue Jays. Their pitching staff worries me, so that's where I would give the edge to Seattle because I think they have a much better rotation than Toronto does. So, yeah, I'd agree with you there.
There you go. There you go. Coming your way next. You see him on ESPN's coverage of Monday Night Football, ABC's coverage of college football. He also happens to be my former co-host, Booger McFarland. Are the Bengals setting Joe Burrow up to succeed? We'll ask him that question coming your way next. My name is Mark Ryan, in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Great to have you guys with us. Mark Ryan in for Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You here on the Infinity Sports Network. Well, our next guest is a former colleague of mine at 98.7 The Fan in Tampa Bay. We got to do afternoon drive together. We were a little bit of radio's odd couple. Now I'm super proud to watch his star rise. You see him on ESPN's NFL coverage, Monday Night Football, ABC's college football. I told him this yesterday. I'm like, how many guests can you have that are equally adept at college football and the NFL? And that is why Booger McFarland is joining us right now on the show. Boog, great to catch up with you, man. Truly do appreciate you. How's your summer going?
Summer's going great, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. Can you bring us into your August? Like, I think of you in August as like it's the calm before the storm. In our business, everyone takes vacations right now. What is August like for you?
Well, school is starting back. Kids are going back to school. I'm starting to kind of dive into college football a little bit. Pro football is going on. It's still a little slow, but you know, kind of the week before, 10 days before Labor Day is when it really ramps up, because by then you start to get a feel for what the college teams have done. They've had a couple of scrimmages. You kind of start hearing some news come out of these camps. And then pro football, is like the preseason is winding down. So as it winds down, that's when I wind up.
That's a good way to say it. Now, I've always wondered this. You're supposed to know everything. That's impossible, man. I mean, I try to be open about what I don't know. But I don't believe you have that luxury. Am I right?
Well, I don't have to know everything all the time. I just need to know everything when I need to know it, if that makes sense. And so, like, sometimes like, it's impossible to know everything, but it's called preparation. Yeah. I know what I need to prepare for, and I prepare for it. And the things that I don't know, you got to work at it. So you're right. No one knows everything. But you try to prepare and make sure that you are ready to go with whatever situation or whatever topic you're dealing with.
You know, working with you, Boog, you were always pro players earning NIL in college. How, though, has this evolved in ways that it shouldn't? You know, Notre Dame, Ohio State was the third lowest rated college football national championship game of the playoff era. It seems like the spring games don't have the juice they used to. National Signing Day doesn't have the juice they used to. It seems like some erosion is visible on the margins of the sport. What changes would you make to this?
Well, I don't really know if you can like make any changes per se. Maybe you can have some spring scrimmages the way that Syracuse and Colorado tried to do, but the NCAA said no. But I don't know how many teams are going to volunteer for that just because like, you don't want to get anybody hurt. I think it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing has always been the college football season. Like spring football, I think we need a break in the spring. I think signing day has kind of been devalued because of the transfer portal and so many different things. And that's okay. I'm not concerned with that as much. But the main thing is the main thing, which is the college football season. And come about 2.5 weeks from now, it's probably going to be the greatest opening weekend we've ever seen. You got Alabama, Florida State, you got Notre Dame, Miami, you got LSU, Clemson, you got Texas, Ohio State. You mean to tell me that something's wrong with that? I don't think so. And so the main thing to me is still the main thing, and that's the actual college football season. Some of the things on the periphery, they may have kind of dwindled a little bit, and that's okay. You know, I think we live in a society where we want it all the time, all year round. And sometimes we need to take a break. And I think taking a break during the spring with college football is okay. I'm okay with that. But you tell me in 2.5 weeks, Mark Ryan, on August the 30th, is college football going to be the best thing going?
No, Boog, it will, except for the fact that I feel like NFL people, like people, fans who are NFL fans first have no problems with this, and fans who were college football fans first hate it. You know, I hate the fact, Boog, that games like Ohio State-Michigan now come with a safety net. Texas-Ohio State comes with a safety net. Used to be those were an elimination game. Ohio State-Michigan should be an elimination game. Ohio State would not have been in any college football playoff, any national championship game in any previous year in the history of college football. And so people say, well, they're the best team. They should have won. No, they didn't earn it. They didn't earn it on the football field. So do you understand guys like me not liking that these biggest games now all come with a safety net? That was the beauty of it all, Boog, is that your friends could text you on a Saturday and say, Boog, turn to Purdue, Ohio State right now. Purdue is no longer Purdue. They're about to knock off the Buckeyes. That doesn't matter anymore. Right.
Well, let me preface my answer by asking you this question. Are you a proponent of the 14 playoffs, or do you like the new format with 12?
I prefer the BCS.
Okay, so everything lines up then, because you want to make sure, like, you want it tough. You want everything to be hard. And I'm okay with that. I'm with you. But the problem is this, is that people who are for the 12-team playoff would say that this past season was great because of the ability to include so many teams for so long made the season better. And early on, I was against that. But when you start to look at a team like South Carolina, who, even though they lost three games, they were playing football as good as anybody at the end of the season, it could have been anybody. And so when you start to see teams that get better throughout the season, I'm okay with the 12-team format. I'm also okay with the fact that, you know, Michigan, Ohio State is not an elimination game. I'm okay with that now because of what I get on the back end, which is the ability to have 12 teams included and more games that mean something, and the playoff games at home. Did you see that playoff game at Penn State? Like, that was unreal. The playoff game at Ohio State, like, when I saw that, that really changed my mind, because I'm about the tradition in college football, and there's no tradition like home games, and the home playoff games really sold it for me.
Booger McFarland on ABC's college football coverage, ESPN's coverage for the NFL and Monday Night Football, as well as ABC there too. Do you get the sense, is the Ben Johnson-Caleb Williams marriage going to work? We spent some time on that today.
You know what, Mark, I don't know. And I don't know if anybody knows. Like, they've only been together, what, less than 6 months? And really, training camp has only been in, what, 2 weeks? So, like, we've become so, like, attached to the fact that if it doesn't look great day one, it's not going to work. I honestly don't know, and I don't really need to know right now. I haven't seen him on the field with live bullets yet. So I know Ben Johnson did wonders with Jared Goff. I know that offense was outstanding. I know Ben Johnson is very capable as a play caller. And so I have confidence, but I don't know if it's going to work. We'll see. That's up to Caleb. Like, Caleb has to go in and prove that he's coachable, prove that he can get rid of some of the things that were negatives for him the last couple of years. And if he can do that, I know Ben's going to put him in a position to succeed. Now, whether he can do it, we'll see. I think we'll have a better idea by the time we get to Halloween whether or not this has a chance to work, or whether or not it doesn't have any chance at all.
Booger McFarland joining us here on the show. Boog, a colleague told me recently, you are the Charles Barkley of football analysts. How does that make you feel?
It's, like, flattering. Like, Charles is maybe the greatest analyst. And it's not because Charles is trying to be that. Like, Charles is just being himself, and he's having fun, and he is understanding that sports are entertainment. Like, our job is not to sit up there and regurgitate a bunch of stats and numbers. Our job is to explain the how and why, and at the end of the day, have a little fun with it. And Charles does that better than anybody. And so if I can be mentioned in that same breath, then I'm flattered. But I just try to be myself, man, have some fun, like, not take anything too serious. This is sports. Like, this isn't real life. This is entertainment. Like, people watch sports to be entertained, not to figure out whether or not they're going to live or die. And so that's the way I approach this.
You know, Boog, whenever you and I were going to be working together, our former PD, John O'Connell, called me in and he said, Mark, the best advice I can give you, to be good with Booger, you got to be willing to take a punch. And the first month of working with you, That was an adjustment for me. But I got into the flow because it was an adjustment for me because people have to be aware with it working with you. Anything in their life is fair game for you to come at, right? And so it was like, you know, hot French sherry and this and that. And other people don't go there. But what I learned, Booger, is that when I was willing to go there, our show took off. And I wanted to ask you, have you ever worked with somebody that couldn't take your punch?
Yeah, well, I think you have the awareness early on to know that. Like, part of understanding and developing a relationship with people is you understand what you can and cannot say and what you can and cannot do. And I've always been very aware, and people that I don't think I can go there with, I don't. But I'm never going to cross a line. Like, I'm never going to go to a place and somebody's personal business out front that they don't want to. Like, I listen, I'm aware. Like, when you're in the position, Mark, that we're in, whether you're on the radio or you're on television, like, our life is really not private to a certain extent. Like, sure, where we go, what we eat, who we do those things with is usually not private because people see us. And part of having a public job is you deal with the public scrutiny and the public and the notoriety. So I've embraced that. I just try to have fun with it because it allows your audience to get to know you. And I think one of the reasons you mentioned Charles Barkley, one of the reasons I think he's so beloved is because people know he's from Leeds, Alabama. People know he went to Auburn. People know that he said he was too fat when he got in the league. The fact that Moses Malone told him he needed to lose some weight. Like, he talks about all this. Like, he talks about the big women in San Antonio. And he talks about all the things that we have fun and listen to. We have fun listening to him talk about because we know it and he says it. And so I think that kind of brings your audience and allows them to know you. And guess what, Mark? If people know you, they're going to want to watch you. And if people watch you, then that's when your career can start to take off.
Amen. Beautifully said. We got 30 seconds left, Boog. Are the Bengals setting Joe Burrow up to succeed?
Yeah, because Joe Burrow wanted both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Well, he got them. Joe Burrow wanted an offensive line. Well, he got it. Now Joe Burrow has to go out and perform. This team reminds me of the Indianapolis Colts. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning, except it's Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. The Indianapolis Colts defense never was great. Peyton Manning had to carry that team to a certain point. And so Joe Burrow, who's making $55 million a year, he's got a $40 million receiver. He's got a $30 million receiver. And they have to carry that team. And so, yeah, this is what he wanted. So he's got to do what Peyton Manning did. Now, it doesn't absolve the defense from having to do a decent job. But at the end of the day, the Bengals are going to win because they have all their money on offense, and that offense has to deliver.
Great stuff, Boog. Have an awesome season, man. College football and the NFL. Great to catch up with you. We'll be watching, all right?
Sounds good, Mark. Take it easy, buddy.
All right, take care. Booger McFarland, my former partner, 98.7 The Fan in Tampa Bay way back in the day. Well, my friends, a big thanks to Nicholas Scarlatus for an unbelievable job producing today. Great working with you, Nico. Thanks to Bill Ryder and everybody here for the opportunity as well. We hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. Rich Eisen, The Rich Eisen Show is coming your way next. My name is Mark Ryan, in for Bill Ryder today, Ryder Than You, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. I will see you Saturdays for my next show.